afternoon. Welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff. And our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer.
Ta-da!
Yeah. And Pape Machinery is located up on Twinview Boulevard, up 3119 Twinview Boulevard, just south of Phil's Propeller. And they've got tractors, mowers, you name it. They have it in stock and ready to go. Go by and see them. They also have a service and parts department that is ready to serve you. Or give them a call at 226-9226 or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com. .com.
Yeah. Whoever, I forget what commercial that was, but yeah, we're all ruined after that. So, we managed to navigate daylight savings time today.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, last year we were here an hour early.
Yeah, twiddling our thumbs.
Way better than an hour late, though.
What is this all about?
So that would make it November the 7th, 2021. So we have an extra hour of the Biden administration today. Let's go, Brandon.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And we're talking about marijuana again today because our friend Dr. Philip Drum, he has sent us some experts, and so we spoke about marijuana last week. There is a tab at the top of the website at wethepeopleradio.us. There is a tab that says pot. It's got all the shows kind of clustered on there, and I'm going to add some other information on there that I got from one of our guests because it's really good. So for everybody who thinks if we just legalize it, it'll be great, and we'll get a lot of tax revenue, and everyone will apply for a business license mm-hmm. and do that. Yeah, we invite you to come to Northern California and just go for a little drive, and it doesn't really matter where you go. It's there.
It's there, and yeah, you can get shot at. You can get run off public land. You can
land. They could move in next door to you, and then your property will become, well, I don't know, you know, I was going to say your property become worthless, but that's not really what happens. It becomes like strangely valuable, but unlivable.
But, yeah, a little bit dangerous. I mean, the clientele up there is,
it brings with it a lot of crime.
Yeah, a lot of crime.
It's like bringing in a prison, but all the doors are open.
Yeah.
Boo.
They have some really nice gates, though.
I mean. I love the smell of plastic in the afternoon. Oh, my goodness. So our guest today, she's written a couple books. I'm going to start with that because I think they're fun. I posted those on the site for today. The Pied Pipers of Pot. Say that three times fast. The Pied Pipers of Pot, Protecting Youth from the Marijuana Industry. So our focus today is kids, I believe. And her other one, On Marijuana, A Powerful Examination of What Marijuana Means to Our Children, Our Communities, and Our Future. So obviously these are things that we care about, and we hope you do too, especially the kid thing, because that's, I don't know, that's the part that's almost fallen by the wayside. We have a lot of people who think, oh, well, you know, it's a choice and blah, 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 blah. One of the shows I'll highlight that we did a while back was with Libby Stout. Dr. Libby Stout, she is in Colorado. And so if you think that it has no effect, if marijuana has, you know, no effect, and Dr. Stout would beg to differ. And she is an expert on the brain and how marijuana changes that and what it does. And last week we heard from our This Is Your Brain on Marijuana. That's what we did with her. And last week we heard all about how it can screw up your whole family. We had a gal on whose brother was hooked on pot as a youngster.
Very young.
14, 13, yep. 14. And then moved on to other drugs and in and out of jail 18 times. And he actually figured it out at one point. And they do teaching and training. So mm-hmm. It didn't have the horrible, sad ending of dying somewhere in a, you know, back alley. So anyway, there's a lot of information. And I think people who aren't, don't have this in their face, either because it's their neighbors or they have a family member or something like that. I don't know. Seems like it doesn't affect you, but I would challenge you that it does affect you. So, without further ado, we have Pamela McCall. She's been actively involved in the cannabis conversation for over 10 years, authoring both The Pied Pipers of Pot, as I said, and On Marijuana. our communities, and our future. She was called to testify before the Food and Drug Administration's scientific data and information about products containing cannabis or cannabis-derived compounds. It was a public hearing May 31st, 2019. She was a speaker at the National Cannabis Forum held in Los Angeles, also in 2019, where she presented on the tobacco industry strategy and their relation to the advertising associated with cannabis advertising. Yeah, see, that's a whole big one. We haven't talked a whole lot about that, so I'm glad.
Yeah, there's a fair amount of that going on.
Glad we're headed there.
Pretty much every day you'll hear it on the radio.
She has attended numerous, and I don't know what this is, and I meant to look it up, UNODC, she'll tell us that, in Vienna and New York, participating in youth drug prevention, and testifies before the Canadian Government Task Force on Legalization. And since we've legalized, I would guess that all this has just sort of blown up, and it was supposed to make everything better, but we know the growing industry, the illegal growing, has gone up. I don't even know.
Oh, tenfold.
I was going to say that, and it's like, I think it might be more. Anyway, so she's a publisher and an author by profession and a subject of global media attention in 2012. Okay, Bill, I know you haven't had a chance to read it. Guess why she got famous in 2012? This is so great.
She didn't perish with the Mayans on the, no.
Oh my gosh, that's a really good answer.
Yeah.
No, she took the smoking of the pipe out of the classic Christmas poem, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas."
Ah.
Heretic.
Heretic.
So, kind of interesting, like little things that you, I guess, Stephen Colbert, or Colbert, whatever he is, Barbara Walters and a bunch of others got in on the controversy. So, kind of fun. Pamela, nice meeting you.
On your show.
So what made you want to take Santa's pipe out? I got to start there because, well, I know we'll get busy and forget.
Well, I was working on the smoke-free movies campaign, and I wanted to do something that would, you know, bring it to the public, the conversation about how we really need to do more to protect kids from tobacco. And I am a publisher, and I thought, what can I do here? And I went to the library, and I found this book, you know, on smoking leprechauns and little children's books and, you know, Three Little Bears and everything else. And then I bumped into Santa Claus and I went, bingo.
Yeah.
Bingo. I mean,
yeah, you got some attention on that.
So I wrote a little media release, I think it was 500 words, and I put it out there, and the next thing I knew, it went absolutely mental all over the world.
Oh my gosh, they were on you?
I
looked at some of the old media that came out about that, and I was like, oh geez. That was like release the beast.
Yeah, it was crazy. And I actually was hit over the head with one of my books by someone who called me a heretic.
Oh, well, there you go.
Heretic.
See, I can channel a heretic like nobody else.
Yeah, you could have been a blasphemer, you know. I mean,
that was later.
Oh, that's later.
I got an email from someone who said she was the head elf of the snowman factory, and the only wreath she wanted to see at Christmas was one on my grave.
Oh, God, I did read that.
Which the New York Post put on page 4. They asked me for it. So I said, sure, you can have it. So, you know, it was a crazy story. And, you know, it's still, I'm still really involved in that campaign. It's still ongoing, and you know, the book's still on Amazon, does really well, and it's just, you know, a conversation I like to have about how to keep our kids safe from these predatory industries.
Yeah. No kidding. It's just, well, the marijuana thing, I don't know. I do know. It just was ridiculous. They started in with the whole medical thing, and I thought, are you kidding me?
Yeah, the whole track. I mean, it's, I find it somewhat amazing that, their advertising, philosophy is even allowed. I mean, it's, you don't see it on television, but you
We finally
do.
Got the billboards taken off of I-5 up here.
Yeah.
So that was good.
Yeah, there are, industries associated with that are still on billboards, and, the actual co-ops are still advertising on the radio, which I guess so do alcohol, but it's just amazing to me that they haven't really got on the bandwagon and restricted some of this stuff, because it is, a lot of it is pointed at the youth. And
well, I mean, yesterday the front page of the Los Angeles Times was 100% propaganda. It was a story how, you know, Normal and everybody were celebrating their 25th anniversary of, you know, legalizing marijuana for medical purposes and in the state of California. And, you know, it was just a 100% propaganda. It was an incredible story, and it was not factually based. And, you know, it's out there. And the fact that the marijuana industry and the lobby, you know, I thought about this yesterday. I thought, I knew it was going to come to your show, and I was thinking, what's the word? Like, the fact that they don't just argue with us, they actually pervert the truth. And mm-hmm. I think that's the word. It's perversion. So we in the tobacco, the anti-tobacco movement, came up with denormalization. It was the gold standard. And we had huge success with the truth campaigns when we went after the industry and we denormalized them. And we used language that denormalizes the behavior of the industry, not the individual who uses. And that's really what we can credit to the break, you know, to the breaking down of tobacco in part in the 80s and 90s was this enormous campaign called denormalization. Well, the marijuana industry comes along and they call themselves normal. That's their name.
Oh, that's right. Because what is that? National something or other?
Yes. They're
for marijuana legalization?
Yeah. And so if we say, like, you know, with a driving issue, okay, people like, you know, experts like Dr. Phil Drum will come on and say, you know, the scientific studies show that this is what happens when you drive and you use marijuana. Well, they come on and they say it makes you a better driver. That's called perversion. It's not arguing with the science. It's they'll say that it's good for all kinds of things, which it has, even COVID, and they have no scientific, you know, backup for that.
Are they actually saying that?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I hadn't heard that one.
Yes.
Why? Because you won't know. Is it like the, what is it, the Irish blessing? They won't know until you're dead till 10 hours later or something?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's the devil.
And one of the sickest ones, you know, the two sickest and most perverted ones I can think of are PTSD, because you know, we know it's linked to depression, anxiety, and suicide, and that's CBD and THC. And yet they go out there and say it helps PTSD, which is picking on like very vulnerable populations of people. And they do the same thing with marijuana and pregnancy. They say that it's good for morning sickness. Well, no, it's not. It's contraindicated by the Surgeon General of the United States of America for pregnancy, but also it increases your cycle of vomiting, the condition of hypernemesis, cannabis hypernemesis syndrome, which is, you know, ongoing vomiting. So that they've gone after people in this perverted way. There's case after case of this, and example after example that I could show you how they've got ahead of us, and they said the exact opposite of what the science says to sort of. Then we come along and they just scream reefer madness at us, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's very sophisticated propaganda.
Yeah, it's amazing to me that they can promote that with pregnant women when they know pretty much any drug is going to have an effect on the fetus as much as it does the mother. Well, what's that THC doing to the baby?
And well, sure, but it's not just THC, it's CBD.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And this is why I testified at the FDA.
Yeah.
If you look at Epidiolex, the synthetic derivative of or CBD, you know, and the package insert says that it's contraindicated if people have any kind of suicide ideation or history of it, but it can cause suicide. So what are we doing here? Like, that is a clinical study that came up with that result that needs to be paid attention to, especially in the pregnant population, because we have seen an increase in suicides in pregnancy since 2000 in the United States. And so no woman should be using CBD in pregnancy or THC, not only, you know, for the health and well-being of the baby, but also for her own sake. And, you know, and I mean, Meghan Markle, you know, the Duchess of Sussex, when she was on that show with Oprah and said that she considers committing suicide in 7 months of pregnancy, the question that should have been asked is, are you using anything? You know, there was a complete opportunity to do some really good public health messaging, right? Like I have no idea if the woman was using it, but that was a missed opportunity for Oprah to not have done that. And it is a conversation we all need to have.
See, and they don't want to have that conversation because it kind of blows the whole narrative. All these people that have pitched this as a
medicine,
as a it doesn't harm anybody. I when we come back, I'd like to do more on the CBD part of it because that's how it's defaulting now. Now it's like, well, okay, THC might be bad, but you know, CBD is harmless and it's really good for you and it's in everything and you should give it to your dog and you should do this and that and the other. And it's like, okay, I guess I mean, I'm not a scientist. I don't know exactly what they're doing with that, but it seems bad. So, it would be awesome if you would give us the 411 on that. Our guest is Pamela McCall. She, I don't know, the title that I like the best is The Pied Pipers of Pot. protecting youth from the marijuana industry. I mean, how do you go wrong there? Perfect title. Oh, my gosh. So you are listening to We the People. You can find everything about this show. You can find archives that stretch back 10, 11 years, whatever it is. I think it's 11 years. And they're all free to listen to, and they are uninterrupted. So you can get those at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
What shall we do about them? When they move into your neighborhood, they take over but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body.
Like a million alcohol and drug songs out there. I still have some left over from last week. They're such toe tappers, but they have such a bad message. What the hell? It's like drugs. You like them, you shouldn't do them.
Isn't it great? Don't do it.
Darn it. I'm going to stop with the music, though. I mean, you know. Okay, so Pamela, what is the deal with the CBD? Because that just seems like the... That's like the clean, you know, that's like the clean version. It's not pot.
Well, you know, you've got Mitch McConnell really to blame for all of this with the hemp, with the farm bill, which sort of opened the floodgates to this. And when you look, when you're trying to figure this out, I mean, there's all kinds of people that you can talk to, but the sources to go to would be the FDA, right? The federal government, the Secretary of Health, the scientific research, okay, that's how you really get your, you know, the goods on this stuff. And Epidiolex, which is this CBD synthetic product that was a drug which was created for very rare cases of epilepsy in children, they have a side effect profile which was clinically studied. And then they write a side effect profile that has to go out with the drug. You've probably gone to your pharmacist and got a prescription. They give you a piece of paper and say, these are the things to watch out for. They have a legal group.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Right, sure. So all drugs are like that. So legitimate pharmaceuticals. And so they have a side effect profile. And in that side effect profile, they say that some people have thoughts about suicide while taking Epidiolex. Stay alert to changes in your mood or symptoms, right? To make sure your Epidiolex is safe for you, make sure that you don't have liver disease, drug or alcohol addiction, that you shouldn't have depression, mood, or mood disorders, or have any suicide or thoughts or actions. Some people have thoughts about suicide while taking Epidiolex. Your doctor needs to check in with you on regular visits about this, right? This is all in the package insert. Like, no one should be taking this without any kind of CBD without having a liver function test. And how many people are going to go do that?
That's
how many
zero.
People who are drinking alcohol, who are alcoholics, are taking CBD?
Oh. You know,
this is the crisis. And, you know, this is the huge thing down the road where, you know, I'm 63 years old. Lots of my peers drink a lot of alcohol, a lot of wine. They self-medicate, you know. And I think about women my age who do that, and I go, they're all out there taking CBD to sleep. Like, what are you doing? You know, you're doing a drug that you don't even understand what you're taking. Or you're giving it to your pet. Like, really? Where's the science that backs that up, right? But here's the really scary part. Here's the Secretary of Health. Okay? CBD can cause liver injury. CBD, male reproductive toxicity, or damage to the fertility in males or male offspring of women who have been exposed.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
That is incredible. And the caveat, of course, is that this is reported in animal studies, but in bio research, the gold standard, again, for human trials, is that it has to have been shown to be safe in animal trials first. You can't ethically advance the studies if you found in animals that it's doing damage to them. So,
oh, that's the first.
That's the international rule of human studies.
So sure, that would make sense.
They can't cross. They can't cross the bar. They can't meet this bar. So this stamp, this is the warning, right? If you are doing CBD, you better be careful what happens to your kids and your grandchildren, because some of this stuff is generational damage. So you're talking not only your children, but possibly your children's children. And that's just CBD. Turn around to THC, and we've got the whole other crisis in pregnancy and the pregnant population and in children. And, I mean, I'm a child's rights activist. That's what I am. And so I really care about children and their outcomes. But I also, as a woman, really care that women have a right, and men, to their reproductive health, and that they need to be told what they're doing to themselves that could possibly hurt their chances of having children, because we know that THC and sperm morphology and infertility and miscarriage, it's all, you know, tied up with a bunch of science. We've got that. But what we're missing is the public education where people get to know that. And usually, I think in science, it's 18-year lag. Like in tobacco, it was 15, 18 years before the public actually got it. We had the science. But we've had the science for decades. And so what you've really got, and this is why my book is about protecting us from the pot industry, is we have a diabolical industry out there who are coming after us. And they don't care about science. And they'll do everything they can to shut people like me down. And I've had lots of personal threats, very serious ones. So, you know, that's really what we're up against. It's a war on science, and it's a war on people like me and people like Phil Drom and everybody else who get death threats and all kinds of things happen to us, you know. So, you know, it's a really scary time. I really think it is.
Well, there's so much money involved, and they like to pretend that it's just, it's all about health and that sort of thing. But I think you'd have to be kind of stupid to not figure out that it's a ton of cash.
Yeah. Well, they also, it's not just cash. Like, it is, but it's also political. And when you look back at the history of the tobacco, the marijuana movement, right, the whole campaign was set up to be anti-establishment, anti, you know, the cannabis culture, that's what they call it.
Sure.
Right? Anti-conservative, anti-Republican, anti-science, you know. I mean, all these people who they've got on these drugs now, THC and CBD, it's out there in the land of quackery from the 19th century. These people have been brainwashed to think that they don't need science anymore. I don't know how they
Well, they've been told it's natural, and you know, it's to tie your earlier comment to it. Every time you bring this up, I don't know about you, but every time I bring it up, you get the whole, well, you know, alcohol is legal and alcohol damages people, and, you know, you guys aren't doing anything about that.
Sure we are.
Yeah,
sure,
exactly.
We are. 1 in 10 people between ages 24 and 64 who dies from alcoholism. We want another drug. But they're different drugs. One cannot, it's such a phony argument.
It is a phony argument.
To do that, because, like, I always say, okay, when was the last time you got secondhand smoke standing next to somebody drinking a beer? Like, they're different drugs. They have different impacts. You know, they're all dangerous, and they all have to be weighed on their own, not merits, but
on their own lack of merits.
But, you know, but it's back to this whole thing, and what I find, what happened to me was, I was in New York, and I was doing some book work, and not related to marijuana at all. And I found a book on marijuana, and I picked it up. It was free. I was at a book expo, and they gave away all these promo books, of course. And I was on a plane, and I read it. And I got so mad because I could see the tobacco industry in the marijuana industry. And I thought, they're doing it all over again. They're playing us as fools. They're playing on our compassion. And they're targeting vulnerable populations, just like tobacco did. Tobacco, when men started to be told that it could cause heart attacks, they went after women, and they went after children. And that's what the marijuana industry did. I want to just show you, I want to read this one little study for you just quickly. It came out last year. It's the association of cannabis retailer proximity and density with cannabis use among pregnant women in Northern California after legalization. And the results of the study were women who used cannabis who were pregnant were younger, more likely to be black, and less likely to be Asian. They lived in areas with greater neighborhood deprivation, and underwent prenatal screening later in pregnancy. These people are being targeted. That's an easy market for these people to sell marijuana to, especially in pregnancy. I find that vile. So that's the kind of, you know, these kind of things are what people like me, why we do what we do, because I see vulnerable populations being targeted, and I find that offensive. And I think that if you can do something about it, then you need to do that. And that's why I do this as a volunteer, many hours of my day.
Well, and it's being promoted as something that is a natural alternative. You know, this is a natural alternative, and my perspective on it, or vantage point, I should say, is the growing, and the idea that this stuff is natural.
What does that mean? Like, I don't go outside and suck on a willow tree.
You also don't suck on a willow tree that's been sprayed with spray adhesive and carbofuron and a bunch of other stuff. It's like,
no kidding.
If people had any idea, like, I mean,
you have to pay extra for that. Come on,
honest to God.
But we live in an age of modern medicine. Like, what the pot industry has done is taken us back to the 19th century.
Yeah,
and that people went along for the ride. I find
when cocaine was
incredible.
Awesome and we put it in drinks and sold it to children. Yeah.
But, you know, in the United States, I mean, quack is still illegal. It's still a legal term. Quackery, the advancing of a product for medicinal purposes with no scientific research is called quack. It is a crime. And yet I don't see anybody being charged with quack.
Where's that happening?
Quackery is a legal term. And
really?
You can't say that CBD... cures arthritis if it doesn't.
Do they say that?
Sure, they say. Well, what
I mean,
I'm
not as smart on the CBD thing, but the thing that always blows my mind is, and I know people, you know, oh yeah, we give CBD to our dog, and I'm like, what?
Why?
What are you doing?
I always know what I do when they say that to me. I tell them the story about my husband, what he did. He gave our dogs so much garlic to kill the fleas, that he killed our dogs because too much garlic in a dog, their blood doesn't coagulate anymore. So both our dogs bled out. So,
oh my gosh,
He killed the fleas, but he sure killed the dogs. So
holy cow!
You might want to do CBD, right?
For
your little flea problem.
I'll never forget that one.
There goes your liver.
What the hell?
Well, so get it together, people. Like, you just don't take advice from somebody, you know, selling snake oil, CBD, or willow. I mean, go back to modern medicine, go back to evidence-based scientific research, and you know, save yourself. I mean, and save your children and your grandchildren from all of this. I mean, I find the pregnancy issue is huge for me. I actually was really actively involved. I was the lead on taking down a university study that was recruiting pregnant women for marijuana studies, and they were trying to say that no one had ever studied this, and that they wanted women who were using it for morning sickness, and they went pretty close to promoting it. And so I did everything I could, including attending a meeting at the White House to get that study repealed. And I just found out they haven't done anything, but they've got over $450,000 in a second round of funding. So I'm still on them, but you know, We've got the science, and the Surgeon General of the United States of America stood up and told everybody, which is absolutely the highest level you can get on legitimate statements. They vet those statements for years before they ever say anything. And his statement was that it is increased risk, 50% increased risk of low birth weight. And we all know that low birth weight is the number one cause of death in infants. So there you go, people. You know, we don't need, like the LA Times yesterday was screaming and yelling, we need more studies. No, we don't. We have the studies on low birth rate, and that's all we need to shut this down and say the pregnant population, which is, you know, large.
Yeah.
I think 50% of pregnancies aren't, not 50%. What's the percentage of pregnancies that aren't known? People don't expect they're going to be pregnant. I can't remember. But there's the pregnant population or the child bearing population is enormous, right? 18 or 15, I guess 15 years old to 50, really. You know, unless they're protected, no one should be using any of this stuff.
I just think that whole thing is crazy. Now, the CBD stuff, is all over the place. I mean, that seems to be in a lot of things. It's in lotion. It's in, I mean, everywhere you look, it's like, with CBD. And you can get that pretty much anywhere.
Oh, yeah, they sell it.
Is there any kind of control
everywhere.
On that?
Nobody's regulating. It's not regulated anywhere. No one's regulating that. Nobody. Who's doing that? Nobody. Nobody's regulating any of this.
That's
the terrible thing about all of this. It's just out there. You know, and that's Mitch McConnell. That's who did it. So, you know.
Because that was part of the hemp bill?
Yes.
No.
That's how they got this all to happen. This is how it all became, you know, out there. But I think.
See, in our regional foresters, I know a bunch of them, and out here, the regional foresters just go bananas when they you start talking about hemp, because here we're not allowing forest products to be processed, and I mean, you don't have to water a forest, you don't have to fertilize a forest, it doesn't take agricultural ground out of production. And hemp does all these things. Hemp is extremely, I think it's just basically a Trojan horse for the dope industry, actually.
Absolutely, for THC as well.
Because yeah.
How do you know, how much THC is in these CBD products, really? You don't know, so.
No, I had somebody, I went to get my hair cut, and I was kind of just standing there waiting, and one of the other haircutters was talking to her dad. And he had to be, well, late 70s, I guess. And he was just kind of not making any sense. And I thought, oh, man, he's probably got some Alzheimer's or dementia or something, and was just acting really weird. And she was looking really alarmed. And then he said, well, I guess I'm going to go, because he was telling her about his dog. That the dog ran away, and she's like, Dad, you haven't had a dog for like 5 years. And I kind of came in on this partway through, and I was like, well, this isn't good. And then I'm thinking, geez, who's driving this guy? Cause he's like, well, I guess I'm going to go. And he walked and he turns around. No one else went with him. And he goes out the door. I go, is somebody driving him? She goes, no, he's driving himself. I go, does he have dementia?
Oh, no.
And, she said, no, but I think there's something going on because he hasn't had a dog, and she listed off all this stuff. Okay, so I go back a month later, right? And I said, I just kind of didn't want to ask. What happened with your dad? She goes, oh, my God. He was taking these CBD sleeping pills.
No.
And they gave him, instead of, I have no idea what the measurement is, but, like, instead of a 10, it was, like, 100. And so he was just wickedly high.
Oh,
he was absolutely high off his rear end and had no idea what was going on. Was hallucinating about dogs he used to have. And
driving.
And driving. Yeah, yeah.
Hmm.
Wow.
But it was legal.
Oh,
you know, it's legal.
Terrible.
He didn't even have to, you know, have a doctor involved. It was just like the guy at the, he was eating some, and then here we go again with the, how, you know, the delivery system. He was eating some sort of like gummy bears, or it was something like that. And instead of the blue ones, they gave him the green ones. And apparently the green ones are like 10 times stronger. And he had no clue.
Well, you're guaranteed to come back and get more that way.
If you could figure out where you were in the first place.
If you figure out where you bought
them.
If you
figure out if your dog's alive or not.
Yeah, you know, something I've been thinking about a lot is that during COVID, we were all waiting around for evidence from science about the vaccines, right? We waited around.
Yeah.
We were all waiting for the clinical trial, and they went through trial. Everybody in the world understood it. First trial, second trial, third trial. We heard about it, right? And everybody was waiting around. And yet when it comes to marijuana, they don't seem to make the equation that, okay, it's a drug, we need to have clinical trials, we need to have evidence, we need to know how safe it is, we need to know our dosing, we need to know all this. It's amazing to me. And the other hugely important thing, I think, during COVID that I really found relevant was how the world got the message that we are not onto ourselves, in that what we do influences other people, right? If you wash your hands, if you breathe on somebody, if you wear a mask, if you, whatever you do, right? You have an influence on other people around you, and you could harm someone else, right? But when it comes to marijuana, it's very libertarian.
Oh, yeah, it's all about you.
It's all about, yeah.
Yeah, it's all about you and your freedom to make decisions, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, who is buying this? And I think really, I don't know if it's so much who's fallen for it, there's that, because I think there are a lot of new users since they started with all this, like a lot of new users.
Oh, they went, the marketing from the tobacco industry, too, it's up for the first time in 20 years. So, no, these industries took advantage of that.
Yeah, and the rest of us, then the people who aren't involved in it, we're kind of like, tied to the chair on the sidelines. We don't seem to be able to weigh in. So we're ineffective as opposition. Let's make sure we get to that at some point during our time with you. We've got to take a really quick break. We'll be right back. Our guest is Pamela McCall. We are talking about marijuana, its effect on kids, and something that we really haven't probed before is the whole CBD angle. So you can find more about us and archives, and you can send the show to your friends at wethepeopleradio.us. If you ever turn your book into a musical.
Which one?
Like maybe you could use that one. Oh, God. That's going to be maybe that'll just be our Mitch McConnell theme song. How's that?
Well, I mean, they worked at it for, since 1970. It was really the Body Shop. It was what's her name? Anne Roderick, the woman who started Body Shop. And she really went to town to try and get that whole thing to happen, to get her hemp movement going. And, you know, it took them a few decades, that's for sure, but they got there. You know?
Now they're working on the banking and taking it off the schedule and all that because, well, now we've all learned, right? It's great. Yeah. Great for everybody.
Here come the magic mushrooms and everything else, too. So it's, it's a scary world, that's for sure. And I just know I don't have teenagers right now. I have a brand-new granddaughter. But I must say, if I had a conversation with a teenager in my world, you know, you just have to be really, really strong in your messaging and just give them the facts and just explain to them, you know, what this thing does and use reliable sources and have those tough talks. You know, I know that research shows that strong parenting and strong messaging definitely helps in a child staying away from drugs. So I kept my kids off drugs. I think that a lot of these parents these days sort of think, I got to respect my kid and I don't know how I wade into this conversation, and they hum and haw around about it, but you really have to be strong in your messaging and just no go, you know, no car keys, no nothing, you know, unless I test your vape pen and see what you're doing. Like, you're not gonna do this.
Whose kid gets to have a vape pen? Can you imagine? I can imagine if I would have brought something like that home and said, hey, you know, besides the fact I had terrible asthma, my parents would have probably had me committed just for lack of mental acuity. But
stupidity, yeah.
It's like, uh-oh, the first one's retarded. Good thing we had four more.
Yep.
But, God, I just, they're running around with a vape pen? Really?
Yeah, no, I know. It's so pathetic. I always think it's just so unhuman. It's just we're supposed to breathe through our lungs. That's the essence of life. And I can't. It just seems so contradictory to breathing that it makes no sense to me, but hey.
Yeah, no kidding. And
it looks really bad. I don't know. I just think it looks really bad.
It looks super scary. They're in a car, and it looks like they have a little forest fire going on the driver's side.
It just looks really stupid to me because I just find it really,
yeah.
I don't know, I shouldn't use that word. Maybe it's offensive to some people, but I just find it really, really.
Well, like I carry a nebulizer in my purse, and I've had people ask me, is that vaping? I'm like, yeah, it's a little box the size of a
couple of matchboxes.
Yeah, it's just kind of the size of a juice box, maybe, kind of a tall juice box. And I'm like, yeah, no. Because does this look convenient or fun? I mean, I don't know. I guess anything looks convenient and fun, and everybody wants to get on board. It's like, there you go. Make nebulizing awesome.
We see all these parents using, too, and there's a direct link between parental use and child use. So you know, it's just sympathizing towards the product. That's the issue. And I think it's just really tough, you know, to be a parent these days and get these kids through all these influences. And you know, so many, you know, it's the whole, the more people do it, the more people do it. Because
sure.
It's not, people, the tobacco industry use that splendidly with the Joe Camel thing. But it's not that they want to be revolutionary. They want to be part of their peer group and they want to fit in. And if everyone's doing it, or at least their peer group and their boyfriend is, then they're going to start in on it because they don't want to be the guy on the other side of the street. They want to be with their group. That's the nature of teens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they want to look all grown up. I mean, that's what they want to do. And this is an adult behavior.
Well, and the CBD thing is kind of, I don't know, promoted or widely believed or both, to be not pot. So it's got no, I mean, okay, so if it doesn't do anything, why would you be doing it? That's always my first question. But how do they get away with that?
Well, and the bigger question is, how did they get away with that, as in the government or any other kind of agency, not doing massive public education on male fertility? Because we know that THC is linked to testicular cancer. We know the issues with fertility, with sperm morphology. We know down the road we're going to have more, but we've got some science on DNA chromosomal damaging. You know, so we know this. So I think that these young men have a right to know that. I think they have a right to know their fertility is at risk, and I think that nobody is telling them that, and I think that that's a really serious problem.
That is a serious problem. God.
Not only may not be able to have children, you may have children that have deformities. You may have children who are spontaneous abort. You may have children who are miscarried. You have a right to know that. I think you have a right. I think a fundamental human right to know that that product could do that to you.
And that you're, you know, that you're potentially signing up for something at a later date that is crushing and life-changing.
Absolutely. You know, and I think women, too, need to understand this male reproductive aspect of it, because they need to have those conversations with their spouses. They were saying that 50% chance of miscarriage, double the risk of miscarriage if a partner uses once a week.
Oh, wow.
So I think women, you know, because a lot of women, the miscarriage issue, you know, a lot of women carry a lot of, you know, trauma from this. And I think that we need to discuss the male role in all of this, too. And I think that that needs to come into this conversation. And I think mothers, grandmothers, grandfathers, fathers need to have these kind of conversations with their kids and say, you know, you need to protect your reproductive health. You know, I mean, imagine having a young man with testicular cancer. I mean, they don't die from it anymore, but what a horrible thing.
Yeah. Life-changing. You
know? Well, there's enough things out there that affect that. Why introduce something intentionally?
Right.
Well, and they're all drinking IPAs, which apparently gives them breasts. So, you know, yeah, history isn't going to be kind to this this time. And then we learned from Libby Stout. She had all the science and the pictures and all of it that when they're using pot in the household, even if it's just a baby that's there. So, I mean, I would submit that kids begin watching their parents, obviously, at the very, very beginning. But maybe you could get away with saying, well, you know, it's a baby. They don't even know what we're doing. You know, we'll quit later. That's wiring, hardwiring their brain for drug use in the future.
Well, sure it is. But also 27% of the people who die from secondhand smoke are infants. Babies. Mm. So are they smoking in the marijuana in the home? Like, 27% of people who die from secondhand smoke are babies. Like, it's a really serious situation. You know, if you look at the Texas homicide data, marijuana is a prevalent drug in the people who perpetrated a murder on a child.
So, whoa, say that again?
The kind of stuff. The Texas homicide child data, fatality data.
I don't know about
shows that.
Okay.
The highest, over alcohol, over everything else, marijuana, overwhelmingly was the highest drug present in the perpetrator of that murder of that child.
Wow.
And that is stunningly horrific. But there are laws in every single state about parental substance use and child abuse. And if you are a pregnant woman, there are people who have a duty to report you. And then you get into the whole child welfare issue. You get into the whole custody issues. It's a horrific situation because, as we all know, this is an addictive substance. And so let's say you're using, but then you become pregnant and you can't quit. Let's say you do want to quit. Let's say you're not believing it's for morning sickness, which is erroneous. and dangerous. Let's say you just can't quit. You could have your child taken away from you. You could have child services on your doorstep. You know, and the duty to report can be like a doctor, a teacher, a neighbor. There are lots of people with the capacity to report, and they have a duty under law to report. So, you know, that's a whole other aspect of this, which is, you know, really upsetting for families and a really dangerous situation for people.
They've already, you know, identified cigarette smoke as very, very harmful to pregnant women. Why would they think that marijuana smoke is that much different?
Well, they've been promoted morning. This is this perversion I've talked about. This is the perversion of the marijuana industry, who said that it's good for morning sickness. And morning sickness is actually a healthy condition for women. It shows a healthy level of hormones. It's a normal thing that women go through in pregnancy. Signs that you don't have morning sickness is actually a sign something could be wrong. So that they've gone out there and sold this to women as a product to use for morning sickness is so wrong-headed and so dangerous, and it's just absolutely against the science that says it is not. It is contraindicated for pregnancy. No one should be using marijuana in pregnancy.
Nobody, in any form.
CBD, THC, smoked, edibles, anything. None of it. You know, they've been promoted, and there's an increased rate of women using. And this huge hospital study came out this week. It was 20 million people in this study, okay? This took them a long, long time to do. And it showed that for cannabis use disorder, hospitalizations had gone up from 2010 to 2018 significantly. And they also showed that there was a significant difference in the prevalence of almost every medical and psychiatric outcome between the people who were cannabis use disorder and those who weren't. Every single medical condition there was more incidence of. And the most startling one is the mood-related disorders was 57.94% for people with cannabis use disorder. And it was only 4.81% for people who didn't have cannabis use disorder. That is incredibly staggeringly important, because it's also an enormous drain on our healthcare system. That's just huge, what this costs the state to help all these people.
Terrifying.
And the study showed for vomiting, it went from 4.86% for cannabis use disorder and only 1.02% for people who didn't have it. So,
jeez.
You know, it's increasing it. So
we've got a lot more to cover. We have Pamela McCall as our hostage for the next hour. So she will tell us more. I wanted to get into the little bit of the difference between the edibles and the smoking and all that kind of jazz. And there's quite a bit to cover with this. We'll be right back. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
I'm having such a good time. I'm having a ball.
Don't stop me now.
If you want to have a good time, just give me a call.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff.
What do you have for us, Bill?
Well, we have a sponsor this hour. It's Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer.
This is my shocked face.
Oh, don't be shocked. I'll bring you down slow here. Pape Machinery has everything John Deere. They've got large ag, big ag. They're actually involved in material handling, Kenworth trucks. I mean, they have a lot of stores, about 110-plus stores in five states, and they're rapidly expanding, moving into the Northern California markets. You'll hear more about that later. But they have everything John Deere. Go by and see them. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, between Oasis and Pine Grove, right off I-5. Or you can give them a call at 226-9226 or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Twinsview.com.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
Okay, I was holding out.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
Yeah, when fun backfires.
Yeah.
Ruh-roh. And it's funny because I was just sending Travis, art engineer, I was just sending him a little message on the Skype that I really love messing with Bill.
Yeah. And then there you got caught right
and then
there. Yeah.
I had this opportunity and
yep. Oh,
it was,
yeah.
It was too
yeah.
good to pass.
Okay. Wow. All right. So, what do you got for us, funny girl?
Oh my goodness. Well, I don't know. It's one of those topics that yet again, like all of our topics, is not funny. We don't ever do funny topics.
No.
We just try to have some fun while we're doing not funny topics. Otherwise,
we do a lot of mocking, though, and I think that makes up for a lot of it.
Yeah. There's a lot of opportunity for that, and there is a tremendous, just want to point out, tremendous video on YouTube, 20 minutes long. And if you search mass psychosis, it'll come up. It's a kind of a little white square with red writing that says the killing of the mind. And it talks about what happens when you get into when society gets into one of those just mass psychosis deals where everyone starts to believe things that are not true. And their example is the Salem witch trials and a few other unpleasant historical mm-hmm. periods, which kind of goes with like the whole mask and the vaccine and all that. And that was part of what they alluded to in that video. But you know, it occurs to me that that would also really cover this idea of how the magic of marijuana that somehow we have become completely delusional about. And if you say any different, you are a heretic.
Oh yeah, you're a heretic. Well, now that it's legal,
then you're really a heretic.
Yeah,
because
on.
Why it wouldn't be legal if it wasn't good for you?
Exactly.
Or you're a Republican. Get called a Republican a lot. They just—I can't underestimate
really?
the political aspect of this. Like that, they've used this politically. They've made it them versus us. It's a very much so. Very
wow.
Much, their language, you know, cannabis culture. It's all about anti-establishment, anti-police, anti be told what to do, anti-regulations, anti-law.
Well, the good news is that's not polling well or turning out good at the polls these days. So who knows? Maybe the tide is turning and people are starting to go, hey, wait a second.
But way back in the 70s, you know, like when Normal started this movement to try and legalize marijuana, they went to the library or universities and they got a copy of Tell Your Children, which is this 1920s film, which a religious group put out, a bunch of parents in a religious group put out, and they wanted to help their kids understand about the perils of using marijuana.
Sure.
And it had been doctored up in the 30s because it was illegal to show drugs in a film in America at that point. And so they had an underground movie circuit, and so this sleazy producer doctored up this Tell Your Children's movie, and it turned into Reefer Madness. It had nothing to do with the government ever. But what Keith Straub did, what he did was he, for $200, took a copy of this thing and started circulating it around universities and promoting this anti-government. The government came up with this, you know, ridiculous statement about, you know, marijuana makes you go crazy. And they undermined the government in 1976. I mean, that was their campaign. It was to, don't listen to them. They're all a bunch of scaremongering, hysterical people. I mean, and even in that LA Times article yesterday, they used the word Reefer Madness.
Reefer Madness. God, I remember that.
I do remember that.
When I was in high
school. So, like the secret of marketing, right? Two words or less, you know, memorable and believable. So it's probably one of the more brilliant marketing campaigns in the history of advertising was Reefer Madness, because it's two words, it's memorable, it has visuals with it, and the aspect of believability is that in the 1930s during the Depression, the United States government didn't have a lot of money to deal with the use of marijuana, which was on the rise, and so what they did, and cocaine, so what they did was they scared people. They just came out with a little scare campaign. And they did do that. They did do that.
Oh, to this day, I remember one scene in that movie where it showed a close-up of their these young people's faces. They're holding their face in their hands and screaming, and their eyes are all wide, and they're crazy now because they smoked a joint. It was hilarious, but
it is hilarious. But it did not. It had nothing to do with the United States government.
No,
it was all, and they used it as though it was. And I think there's a myth out there, like you were saying about myths about the witch trials. There's a myth out there that Reefer Madness is a government film. It never was. It never was. And it was complete strategy by the marijuana lobby to get their way.
I guess I never thought, I've never done any research on it, but that's pretty, okay. It's like evil smart.
So I hear Reefer Madness. I mean, that did more damage to us probably than anything else ever has. Well, it did. Because they just, if you open your mouth and say anything, of course, everyone who uses marijuana doesn't get early onset schizophrenia or, you know, do some violent act or become addicted or do anything else. But that doesn't mean it doesn't happen. It just means it doesn't happen every single time.
Sure.
You know, and these people who say to me, oh, no, I like using CBD. It's good for me. Or, oh, I really believe in it. I go, have you read the science? Have you read the side effect profile? Have you tried, like, legitimate products? And are you being monitored? Like, you know,
well, since you have read all that
than thought,
on you know, the, since you've read all that on the CBD, I got to ask you. I have somebody I know that is giving it to their dog because their dog has seizures, and they think it's making the seizures better.
Well, there's no science. That's ridiculous. That's quackery. Sorry, quackery again.
I didn't want to assume.
Where is the science? The only science that we have is the clinical trials that were done by Epidiolex for two very rare forms of childhood epilepsy. That's it. No dogs. Dogs weren't part of the trial. And the efficacy was wasn't even very good for that trial itself. So that's all we've got. So to use it for anything else, you know, we don't have it. And plus we know what the side effect profiles are. So let's say you want to do it for sleep. You really want to go there? You want to cure your sleeping problem with a drug that possibly could have you committing suicide? Really?
But you sleep good.
You know, it's like when tobacco, people say, oh, it relaxes me. I go, well, that's a physical impossibility because it activates your central nervous system. What it does do is it relieves you from the drug withdrawal that you're going through. Yeah, it's a relaxant because you're in drug withdrawal from nicotine, but it's impossible to say that tobacco is relaxant.
Yeah. Wow, that's interesting. I never thought about it like that, having never smoked.
It's the belief systems. I mean, I used to do smoking cessation, and people would say to me, oh, it helps me sleep, or it helps. I go, there's all kinds of better ways that, you know, tobacco has a 50% chance of early, you know, premature death. So let's look at your sleeping problem and your stress problem, and let's come up with a better solution.
Yeah, no kidding.
Something that you can kill yourself.
Well, I guess that's the thing, and again, you don't know if the people who were growing it wanted to speed things up and put spray adhesive on it. I will never get that out of my mind. I mean, there were these 55-gallon drums. I saw them. I didn't read about them in the story. I saw them with my own two eyes. And it had this really long name on it, and it's like, what the heck is that? So we looked it up, spray adhesive. It took us forever to figure out why they would have 55-gallon drums of spray adhesive.
Well, maybe metals and everything else. Yeah, no.
And so you think about all the, I mean, it's just a nasty, nasty situation. And for the people who think I'm kidding, honest to God, go to our website at wethepeopleradio.us, look on the pot tab, and I've posted a whole bunch of pictures there, and most of them I took. It's grisly. If you think that your stuff in these stores is coming from some magical, you know, fairyland guarded by unicorns and, you know,
How about just simple regulation? We have this, I don't know if you've read The Poison Squad, but it's a phenomenal book about the food industry and what they used to do, like putting talcum and things in products that we finally got to a level where we had regulatory agencies and we had a consumer sort of an awareness that we had some protection in our products, right? There was sort of a level of protection for us. That's gone. It's gone. If you look at the marijuana and CBD and THC, there is no regulation here. So there is nothing helping you as a consumer. We're back again in the 19th century before we had consumer protection. And yet we have this belief that our governments are protecting us, but they're not. So that's a really big problem, right? You know, I mean, Einstein said that belief was more powerful than thought, you know, so or knowledge. So people believe things. And it's very hard to turn them around to evidence and fact and science and truth. And it's once they get on this belief thing, it's, you know, and these industries know that. I mean, these people who are in advertising and consumer manipulation and cultural infiltration, they know all of this. And, you know, we always, Phil and I are very close friends, and, you know, we'll often say, you know, they're sitting around a room and they're way ahead of us, and there's a whole bunch of them being paid a lot of money to figure this out. Like, this is not random. This is a consorted, calculated, manipulative campaign, and it's propaganda. And it's, you know, like in history, propaganda is really hard to fight.
Yeah, it really is, because it, they always use, I mean, propaganda is called that because it's kind of smart. You know, they use little bits of truth, and they just, they morph it just a little bit, and then it becomes part of, well, you look at how many people are making the rules. I always kind of go back to that, because you look at who's making these laws and who's making these regulations in your county and city government. And these are not 20-year-olds. These are people who grew up, you know, watching Cheech and Chong movies and thought they were funny and have kind of a basic understanding that marijuana is sort of harmless, and it was something that, you know, kids did to act out, and now it's legal, so it's no big deal, and, well, it'll probably bring revenue into our community. And that's kind of the logic line that it takes.
Yeah, but you just look at that. I mean, it's such a... If you look at the cost of these hospitalizations I've been talking about, you know, neonatal, the percentage of women in neonatal is, I think, 4% for alcohol and 37% for marijuana.
Oh, no kidding.
A night in neonatal maternity care, what is that costing everybody? Like, people have to start looking at the hospital data and looking at the cost of all of this.
Give that stat again.
It's the neonatal maternity admissions. Like, people who've had a baby and have to stay in the hospital for neonatal care.
Okay.
The mother, it's, I think, 4% for alcohol and over 30 to 40% for marijuana.
And that's if they're, like, a regular marijuana user?
That's just the stats that I have for the hospital data that show that, I mean, cocaine's way down there, too, and opioids. It's marijuana. They're there for marijuana. That's what they're there for.
No kidding.
You know? And these little babies, too. You think a kid who's got marijuana in their system before they're born doesn't go through withdrawal and have seizures when they come out? They do. And guess where they end up? In neonatal care. Again, very expensive.
Yeah.
So, you know, these are the things that people talk about tax dollars. Look at the driving. Look what it costs. Like, you know, for marijuana fatalities, like pedestrians, cyclists, all these people that are being hurt or killed by marijuana-impaired drivers. You know, look at the loss of life, but look at the cost, too, right?
Well, you know, I think the additional tax revenue by legalization is going to cover all that. I don't think it even
comes
close.
Joke. No, it's
an absolute joke. It hasn't done it. We've already got the numbers on all of that in Colorado and Vermont and all kinds of places. They've got all the data on that. It's nowhere near. But there's also a very callous society that would say let's promote an addictive product so we can make some tax.
Yeah, let's make some money.
Yes, we still have tobacco, which is very sad. And 87% of people who smoke wish they didn't. It's not like there's a bunch of happy smokers out there. Those people don't want to be smoking. It's a highly addictive product, you know, and they've been sucked into it. And they were often sucked into it as a youth. And so, you know, especially the pregnant woman who's pregnant and smoking, like, what a horrible situation to be in.
We've got to take a really quick break, but when we come back, I'd like for you to tell people the very last part of your bio that I didn't get to is that you had co-authored Baby and Me Tobacco Free, which was a guide to help pregnant women quit tobacco before starting a family. Tell us a little bit about that when we come right back. Our guest is Pamela McCall, and you're listening to We the People. You can find all this information and a commercial-free archive later on today at wethepeopleradio.us.
Who is it?
Yeah. What indeed? What indeed could you do? Well, you could stop smoking pot. That would be good.
Yeah, that might.
Lay off the CBD. We've got a lot of ideas for you.
Yeah.
So
eat more fruit.
There's always that. I knew somebody that was their answer to everything. Every problem their kids ever had, every problem that ever happened in the house, eat more fruit.
Eat more fruit.
Yeah, it's the same person who always used the word misconstrued instead of misconstrued, which came shooting out of my mouth the other day involuntarily in a very inappropriate time, and I couldn't stop laughing. Terrible when that happens. Oh. So easily led. It's a good thing I never got hooked on any of these things. I'm basically hooked on silliness, obviously. Thank God there's no cure. So what about this, the baby and me tobacco free?
Sure.
It doesn't give a time frame for that. Was that a long time ago or recently?
No, it was a while back, but I wrote a book about it, for the director of the program, and it's still available. And it's a really compassionate sort of outlook, which is how I kind of approach all of these sort of topics. I've never told anybody to stop smoking or stop smoking marijuana in my life. It is not how I am. You know, you have to come at this from a sort of perspective that one needs to become educated, but also one needs to recognize one's belief systems. And all of these things, tobacco, marijuana, alcohol, human beings will not do something if there is no benefit. We're not wired to do that. So you need to figure out, why am I doing it? What are the benefits? What are my belief system? What do I believe are the benefits? And that's how you get into these conversations that can help people turn their lives around. And with Babies and Me Tobacco Free, it's really a compassionate look at a woman's life and saying, okay, why are you using, and then getting into their belief systems. Is it because you think it's going to relax you? It helps you sleep? I mean, you know, people have all kinds of reasons for using a product. And then you help them break through those beliefs to get to a healthier place and to substitute them with better things. And that's really the essence of smoking cessation, is that process. It's not scaring people to death and saying, you know, you've got a 50% chance of death, because we, as human beings who are a sound mind, will automatically say, well, I'm going to beat the odds. I'll be one of the 50% who doesn't die. That's what we do. And so that's not a very effective strategy to scare them to death. You're much better off to get drilled down into, why are you using, if you're addicted to marijuana, what are you getting from it? And then try and substitute that belief with a better belief and a knowledge-based belief and come to a better decision for your life. So if someone was to say to me, I smoke because it helps with constipation, and I've heard that, I would absolutely find you a better way, okay? If you said to me, I smoke dope because it just relaxes me, then I'd get into the drug conversation about it. It's an addictive substance. It's a drug, and it's withdrawal you're experiencing. You need to acknowledge drug addiction, and then we can talk to you about this, right? So that's kind of what Baby and Me is all about. And, you know, I just think it's a really, you know, this is a stigmatized population. I mean, people who are out there pregnant and smoking or drinking, you're right. You're not doing that out in front of anybody else.
Sure.
Right? So you're doing that in secrecy, which, again, is problematic. So that was what we were quite successful. Very successful, actually. And, it's something I still really feel strongly about, helping people and not criticizing people's choices. It's counterproductive. It's much better off to come at them with a, you know, education piece. And I mean, I'm not a doctor, and I am a writer, and I certainly can do research, but I just took it upon myself to become educated, you know. And so I went to people like Dr. Phil Drum and Dr. Ken Finn and really intelligent people, and Dr. Philip Seaman, who was nominated for a Nobel Prize in for discovering the dopamine receptors of the brain. And I went to them and I asked them about things, and I wrote things and asked them to read it. And, you know, anybody can do this. I mean, anybody can become better educated. And I think some people stop and go, well, I don't know anything about science. But, you know, it's important. And I think as a parent and a grandparent, I know someone said to me the other day, because I have this brand new granddaughter, she's 1 month old, and someone said, well, what are you going to do if she smokes dope or smokes pot, right? And I went, well, she won't be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to start that right now.
No.
What's the crossover between the CBD and the marijuana? Like, do they start with one and go to the other? Is it something that kind of interchangeable, or? Any stats on that?
No, but I love the CBD has THC in it, of course. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know that. I fear for people my age doing it, you know, for all the wrong reasons. And I think THC I worry about because of heart and stroke and all of that that comes on, too. So the thing about marijuana that's so terrible is that there's so many aspects of it that could damage you, you know, from psychotic break on high-potency stuff.
Sure.
You know, causing violence to yourself or others, including children, to driving, to not knowing how impaired you are, you know, to all the birth defects I've talked about, the mental health issues, early onset schizophrenia. I mean, you know, I'll get personal for a minute here. I have two nephews who've been in psych wards for a little under 2 years in Scotland because of marijuana. So, you know, this affects people in so many different ways, right? You can, and because I'm educated on this topic, I actually understand what they've gone through, and I wouldn't have known otherwise, right? So, you know, there's just so many aspects of it and so many risks that I just think everybody's really well served to stay away from it in every single form. And, you know, you can have a drink. You can have a 3-ounce, 5-ounce, 8-ounce glass of wine and not be drunk. You can't say the same thing about a marijuana product. You're going to be stoned. That's the whole purpose, right, or the main purpose. So, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You can't compare these two things. You know, you're a pregnant woman. You're then breastfeeding. You know, as you know, maybe you can pump and dump. You can drink a glass of wine. You can do your weight, do the chart, pump and dump, and you're okay to breastfeed your baby. You can't do that with marijuana. It hangs around for 3 weeks. So you can't feed your baby. You can no longer breastfeed. You know?
You would think that would be just, I don't know. But I would imagine that if somebody has been a marijuana user for, you know, all through maybe high school and college or whatever, and, you know, you're in your 20s and you're going to have a baby, changing that, you've already kind of adopted the, it's harmless, it's natural, it doesn't hurt anybody. I'm guessing
yes.
That's what you hear?
Yes.
You deal with
and
these
the
people, is that what they
say? They're not screening properly, they're not asking people enough, they're not asking, you know, they're not asking. And they need to. They need to be screening these women. Look how many are ending up in neonatal and in prenatal. Look at that. You know, 21 million people study. I mean, that's atrocious. So people, doctors need to step it up and start, like, you know, screening people for it too, right? It's really important. And I think, I don't know, going forward, you know, I don't want to exasperate everybody here and make everybody feel, oh, you know, we're run over by a train and there's nothing we can do. I mean, you know, I think being prepared, educate yourself is incredibly important. You know, in narcotics history, the history of these drug trends has always been that when observational damage shows up and people start to see the damage caused, like the parent movement, they'll step in and do something. But with our case, we've got so much money pouring in from the industry that people aren't connecting the dots. They're not connecting these damaged children with the marijuana use, right? They're connecting it to cell phone use or something. And I'm going, no, it's the marijuana use, right? Like, when my nephews were institutionalized because of early onset schizophrenia through marijuana, the thought was cell phone use. And I went, it's marijuana use. Like, you have to sort of, the connecting of the dots is our problem. We can't, you know, like the driving too. Like, you've got to get the data and you've got to get the science and you've got to get the public understanding those two things go together, right? There's the damage you're seeing, the observational damage. All these children who are damaged are because of their marijuana use. And that's our problem, no doubt about
it. Yeah.
And I'm fought every single, I can't even tell you the things I've had happen to me in the last, when I was at the UNUDC, that's the United Nations Office of Drug Control. That's what.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I saw that. I thought, I should look that up.
You have to have bodyguards.
I didn't know they had such a thing.
It is that serious. The attack on us, like, really vicious, really vile. And if you dare to stand up, and I was approached by the industry who threatened me. And, you know, that was pretty scary.
Yeah.
But I have to live the life I want to live, and I am an activist. I'm not being silly here. I'm not going to be reckless, but I do take bodyguards when I go places like to speak at a city hall or something. I do. I've needed them. But I'm not going to stop doing what I do. I wrote 2 books.
Yeah.
On the topic. But
if what they're doing is so great and everybody likes it so much and it's so non-threatening, going after you is because, I mean, what's their...
I'm throwing rocks at their party.
Yeah. I mean, I know why they're going after you, but what's their... Do they have...
Well, here's what the industry threatened me. They invited me to meet somebody in a mall. I didn't know who it was. I thought it was a man who'd heard me on a radio show. This is a couple of years ago. And he said, hey, I love what you talked about. I want to meet you. And I went, okay, well, I'll meet you at a mall. I'll meet you at a coffee shop. And I'm not meeting you, you know, privately or anything. So we go to this mall. I sit down, and we have a little chat, and it sounded okay for a few minutes. And he goes, we're only going to let you get so big. And I said, are you threatening me? And he went, we're only going to let you get so big.
Oh.
That was the industry.
Wow.
So I phoned the RCMP, the police, and I told them, and they already knew what I'd gone through. And so I actually had the cell phone for the head of the detective narcotics squad. I had his cell phone. He was so worried about me at one point. So those things happen. And, you know, it's money, big money, big money, right?
Oh, you know when the big corporations are coming in and buying up all these little co-ops, you know there's big money in it.
Yeah, but it's just, I don't know. I don't want everybody to be exasperated and think, oh, well, we've lost the war. There's got to be some pushback here, and there's a lot more of us. There's a lot more of us who don't use than those who do. And I think that someone said to me once, all we need to do is agitate the public. We don't need to radicalize the public. We don't need to revolutionize anybody here. We just need to get them to turn it around so that the 80% of people who don't use, when it comes to a ballot initiative or some other voting mechanism or something they can have some control of, they just simply say no. And if we just move the dial enough so they wake up enough to go, nah, let's not do that. That's all we need to do because we are such a massive majority, right? If there's 20% of them and there's 80% of us, we've got this. We just got to mobilize it a bit with more media, more outreach, more, and sadly, more damage. You know, all these activists you're talking to, Heidi Swan, Phil Drum, you know, Ed Wood, all these people out there have a dead family member.
I was going to say they all have a personal connection.
They've got personal connections. And that, they, you know, instead of walking their way, you know, and people at Mum Strong, too, with children's suicide, these people have turned around and they're trying to help other people, which is incredibly commendable because it's got to be really hard to be reminded of the pain that they've had to endure for, you know, at the hand of a marijuana user.
Yeah, because Philip Drum says that all the time. I mean, here, you know, the guy's a, you know, an accomplished pharmacist and, you know, was busy and working and doing all those things. And he didn't intend to get involved in the whole marijuana thing and the driving, but his sister was killed by a drug driver, and it's like, you know, your whole life like makes this big U-turn. It's like, okay, we're going to go back, and now we're going to have a different focus.
And then sometimes, like I know myself, like you take some time off because it's very difficult work, and it's, I mean, I've testified all kinds of places. I've had all kinds of abuse. I've done really seriously incredible, really incredible things have happened. But because I've taken it on, it's impossible to just retire and not do it because you have a piece to play. You have a role here. There's something you know that you need to share with other people somehow. And I've tried quitting, and it's very hard to do because it keeps going on. And people say, oh, well, my children don't use, but the children in your children's classroom do. And your children's friends drive cars, and they are high, and they have passengers.
Or their parents are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like you can't just step back and go, oh, it's not part of my world. Sorry, unless you're living in a nutshell. You know, you're part of this world, and this world, we are civilized, we connect, like with COVID, we help each other out, and we can harm each other if we're not taking, you know. So I call myself a preventionist. I'm also a prohibitionist because I see there's two schools of thought here. There's a harm reductionist, and then there's people like myself who are preventionists. I think that we can say to people, don't do drugs. I think we can do that. I don't think we say, let's do them safely, let's do them together, don't do them alone. I think that's really, really poor public health messaging. I think we can say, let's not do drugs. Let's not legalize marijuana. Let's not have this product to deal with. Let's just not do that. Let's get really strong on taking down the black market. Let's really strong on all of the illicit trade. Let's do that, you know. Go bus kids. Go bus people who are selling to kids. You know, go do that. Go get them.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and at the very least, encourage your city and county officials not to be loading up your town with all these medical marijuana stores, which, you know, has the word medical in it. It makes it look like it's
there is no such thing as medical marijuana.
Right. It makes it look like it's some legit thing, which
There's no such thing as medical marijuana. There's marijuana for medical purposes.
Right.
But there is no such thing as medical
marijuana. That's what they call it.
I know, but...
And it's just crazy.
Look at dispensaries. I mean, there we go again. That's perverted. They're using a pharmaceutical term,
yep.
dispensary, to dispense what? There's no dosing. How can they dose it? They have no clinical trials. So, and even the compassion, they've just manipulated us so well, right, with this language. I find it, really, really incredible.
It's super frustrating.
But there are things people can do, and you know, I think you just need to be vigilant with your kids, and it's a no-go. It's an absolute zero marijuana use, and these new vape pens you can test with drug kits. You can test if there's cannabis in the pen in 30 seconds. So I know that's something you might talk about in their time, but there's all kinds of things you can do and talk to their parents. But just don't underestimate the risk factors that come with both of these substances because, you know, we've had this science for at least the 70s. We've had science like this. Anybody who says we don't have science, there's like 37,000 studies on PubMed for marijuana. 37,000 studies? We have this. We have a mountain of evidence.
Yeah, not exactly secret. You also gave us, and we've attached it on our page for today, 1,785 possible research results for marijuana in pregnancy. So just in case anybody thinks that, you know, this hasn't really been studied very much. That was as of October 27, 2021.
But most importantly is the Surgeon General. When the Surgeon General of the United States of America stands up and says, do not use marijuana in pregnancy, that is as solid as it comes. That is completely solid. They cannot say things that aren't incredibly researched and evidence-based. And that's all people really need to rely on in my world is the Surgeon General. And when that's what happened with tobacco. When the Surgeon General stood up and said, this is causing men to have heart attacks, everybody believed him. But for some reason, when the Surgeon General says marijuana and birth and pregnancy don't go together, it just sort of went away. It just doesn't. The rates are going up. More people are using in pregnancy.
That's just crazy.
They even have lactation cookies to help people have their milk come in.
Yeah, that freaks me out.
Sick and twisted.
Yeah. On that sick and twisted note, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back. And one of our chat forum users has sent us a song, and I just want you to know we finally got that put together. So here you go. A little take on a classic. How's that? So you're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
The devil went to Jamaica. He was looking to sell some weed. He was doing fine. They were standing in line. It was excellent weed indeed. When he came across this young man who was likewise peddling pot, and the devil slid down the beach to the kid and said, boy, let me tell you what. I guess you kind of figured I'm a reefer head, of course. And after all this time, I guess that I'm a connoisseur of sorts. Now, your stuff smells okay, but this could tranquilize a horse. I'll bet $1 million in cash against your stash, because I think mine's better than yours. The boy said, my name's Johnny, and you ain't smoked nothing yet. One hit of this grass will kick your ass. You got yourself a bet. Johnny, roll a ball of hash and make sure it's the bomb. Cause the devil's got the kind of stuff they smoked in Vietnam. You'll get $1 million smackaroos in cash if you can cope. But if you can't, the devil will get your dope.
Up in the smoke, that's where my money goes. In my lungs, and sometimes up my nose. When troubled times begin to bother me, I take a toke and all my cares go up in smoke.
It's actually probably more true than most people would like to admit.
That was vintage Cheech and Chong right there.
Vintage Cheech and Chong.
Vintage, yeah.
You can't get away with a show on this topic without a little Cheech and Chong, because honestly, I think that's where most of our, I don't know, I guess I'm older people. Only 3 years younger than you are, Pamela. Bill's older than you are, so here we are in the senior coalition.
Wow.
Outed you right there. Boom.
But that was back in the day when it was like THC balanced with CBD in a plant.
And yeah, and it was like 2% THC apparently, and now it's like...
anywhere to 99%. Yeah, it depends on what they're doing.
The whole edible thing, that seems really insidious to me.
Yes.
Because you can't smell it. I mean, if somebody, like we were talking about before, you know, maybe your kids don't smoke pot or vape or do any of these things. Maybe they don't even like it. They have no idea if they're getting in a vehicle with somebody who's just eaten some insanely potent food.
Yeah.
Food thing.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Some of the oils and stuff are, what, 90% or something? I mean, that just blows my mind.
One of the things Phil
blows their mind, too.
One of the things Phil Drum taught us really early on when we were talking about the drugged driving and they were saying how they didn't have enough tests for it and all that, he had given us a few clues. One of them was they can't converge their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sobriety field test where you move your finger closer and closer and closer until your eyes are crossed, they can't cross their eyes.
Right.
And that's a that'd be an easy test for parents.
Yeah. Well, it's I was just the one thing I wanted to mention was Prop 65, you know, THC is on their list, you know, of toxic substances, and they're supposed to have warnings in all the stores about pregnancy. So, you know, it's legislated in California law.
Do they do that?
No, of course not.
But I think Prop 65 wouldn't let me get something from Franklin Planner because it was made out of something that was on their banned substances list.
Yeah. Oh, we have to have Prop 65 signs all around our store because pretty much as soon as you push the handle on the door, you walk into a toxic area. Everything is affected by Prop 65.
Because it's got oil and gas.
If it's got
and
any
all
kind
things.
Of petroleum substance, yeah. Or, you know, I mean, yeah. they have to put that warning on everything.
Everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not any of this?
But they don't post it in the pot shops?
No. No.
Oh.
No, they sure should, though.
Oh, yeah,
but,
absolutely.
I mean, their slogan is your right to know, right? Your right to know. That's the slogan of Prop 65, is your right to know. And I think that might have been the theme of today's show, is that you know, your right to know. People have a right to know this. And people, you don't know about CBD. That's, like, we have a right to know, right?
Yeah.
And I think these gummy bears that you were just speaking about, the problem with those is that it's the delay in knowing how much you've taken and taking more because you don't feel any effect.
Oh.
And so then you overdo yourself, right? And then you're like a gong show.
And then you're driving down the street and surprise.
Right. So that's the really big issue there. But, you know, this Halloween, there were, I think, 4 attorney generals put out messages saying, you know, be careful out there with these gummy bears and be careful about THC in candy products. Rice Krispie Squares, I think, were targeted as one of the products they sort of doctored up. Again, the perversion thing, right? They go after gummy bears and Rice Krispie Squares and instead of coming up with their own thing.
They're screwing up perfectly good foods.
But, you know, I did a Google search to find out what news outlets were actually covering that story and the damage. And, yes, there were some children definitely hurt. There were some people hospitalized, some little kids and stuff. But the only story that was picked up that I could find was in Ireland of a news outlet actually warning about this other than the Surgeon General. And every other story in America was the pot industry saying it's a hoax, it's reefer madness, they've tried this before, they always come up with this Halloween story that, oh, people contaminate trick-or-treat. No one's ever contaminated trick-or-treat. No one's ever done this. That was the lead story across America that the media picked up on. And so what I did was I went and found all the car accidents over Halloween night, and there were cyclists killed, there were pedestrians killed, there were drivers killed, all marijuana related. There were these children hospitalized. I think they were in Virginia. there were 7 kids in Vietnam. I was doing this whole web search, right? And I post them all through my Twitter feed to the pot industry going, you guys are just outright lying.
Yeah.
That no one's ever, are you kidding? No one's ever had a tampered Halloween treat? That's just not true.
Well, that's stupid. They've been doing that since we were little kids.
But that was their story. That was what, and they put money behind it because it was, if you Google it, Halloween treats, you'll see the pot lobby. There they are, denying it, denying it, denying it, right across the board. You know, I just went, unbelievable how these guys...
See, I guess I don't get that. Why would, I mean, I assume these products are fairly expensive, and they would put that in a trick-or-treat bag and give it to kids because it's...
Well, they used to put razor blades in apples when we were kids.
No, what they do is they sell it to underage kids. I saw the ads. One of the governor generals or attorney general was asking for it, and I sent her some stuff that... No, they said, do you want discreet trick-or-treat stuff? They were selling to kids online. They were selling trick-or-treat stuff that looked like Halloween stuff, but it wasn't. It
wow.
had marijuana in it. So they were selling it. And what they were saying was, she said, can you find me any of these? And I went, sure. So I went and looked for them, and sure enough, there they were. Do you want, you know, discreet product, meaning this is not a Rice Krispie square, people. This is something else, right?
So wow.
They definitely did it. It's not like they go house to house and little trick-or-treaters go to the door and some nasty person puts in a gummy treat, which actually did happen here, and 2 people were arrested, and they've got jail time for all that. But it does happen, but that's not really the worry. It's more that these candies are out there and kids are on the street and someone's selling them some stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Dealers and people. So.
Yeah, and as a parent, as a parent, you don't know that.
No. And one little girl took some to school. She got some from a babysitter or somebody and took it to school, and a whole bunch of kids got sick. So, you know, it just circulates because kids are all into candy, right, at this time of the year and Halloween.
Right.
So it just sort of circulates amongst their stuff.
And then, I mean, most people don't even know what to look for on something like that. I mean, you take a quick look at it. It's candy, you know.
Sure.
Yeah, it's
you have
not good.
You've given us quite a few links and different things to go with today. But you know, if you have any really good, you know, sources that you find really helpful and things that would give people information, especially to have conversations with maybe their parents of your grandkids or people that are, not realizing how dangerous this is because it's really not being publicized. I'd be happy to post that on today's page. You gave us a little list. When the product should not be used, cannabis should not be used if you're under the age of 25, are allergic to any cannabinoid or smoke, have serious liver, kidney, heart, or lung disease, have a personal or family history of serious mental disorders, such as schizophrenia, psychosis, depression, or bipolar disorder, are pregnant or are planning to get pregnant, or are breastfeeding, if you are a man who wishes to start a family, and if you have a history of...
That is the statement right there. You just said it.
And that's a huge one. And if you have a history of alcohol or drug abuse or substance dependence, and that list is posted right on there, and that's... So, at the end
that's
of
the
day,
government of Canada, okay? That's the government of Canada saying...
Oh, no kidding.
Men who want to... their language, read it again. Men who want to have children should not use marijuana.
Men who wish to start a family. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is the government of Canada. That's
I guess we should add the word ever.
Canada.
Like, because it isn't next week, it's ever.
Why isn't that on billboards?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Right?
Yeah, that's...
Isn't that stunning?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is, because I don't think people really know that. And they're told, constantly told, that this is all, you know, that the there's no risk. This is silly. There's stores right downtown that sell it. How could it be that dangerous? You have stores.
Well, I testified at the House of Commons on marijuana legalization in Canada, and I led with that. I asked the lawyer for Health Canada sitting beside the head of the task force, how do you legalize a drug that you yourself say men should not use if they want to start a family? And they sealed the meeting for eternity.
Really?
Yeah. Wow.
I spent 6 hours putting testimony in from all over the world, all these scientists and everything else. They sealed the meeting. They sealed the meeting forever.
So no one will ever know about
no
it?
No one ever will see what I said. Ever.
Oh,
well, that
man.
Should tell
That's
you everything.
That's how corrupt things are.
Yeah, yeah.
That's, right? Isn't that terrible?
Yeah.
Yeah, and as I was leaving, the task force head came over to me, and she said, I sealed the meeting. You won't see it for 50 years. And I said, and then I phoned my MP, and I said, and she went, no, they've actually sealed it forever.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
But that's okay. There's another scientist at Health Canada, a whistleblower, who came to me and said, you know, he wrote a report saying no one should touch this stuff back in the 90s, and he was fired and put under a gag order. So there you go.
I mean, yeah. That's when you know you're hitting a nerve, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So there are people who do not want people to know the truth, for no doubt about it.
Yeah, about so many things. But I'll tell you what, the CBD is a biggie. And I really hope you'll email me some other people to have on about this, because every single person we talk to has a slightly different vantage point and a slightly different basket of information. So we really appreciate you sharing with us today and getting us all smartened up, because I'll tell you what, if we don't, we're going to lose generations of people in all of our countries.
I have a lot more liver disease.
Can you imagine? I don't know who's going to run the world later, but we're going to all have to keep working forever, I suppose, because we're destroying our youth. So thank you so much, Pamela McCall. And I hope people go on and check out your books and all those good things. We will have you on again, and you've been listening to...
Well, I'm writing another book, which the pod industry will not like.
Oh, good. We can't wait to have you come on and talk about it. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. See you next week.